So welcome to Focus 24 by 7 and the last podcast of this year. I'll start by telling you a bit about myself. So my name's Joel Kirkland. I'm one of the leadership team at Focus Cloud. I've been in recruitment for 20 years and in the Workday ecosystem for 18 months. And the title of this podcast is Building and Managing a Global Workday Team. I'm really pleased to be joined by Mohammed Samir from the Weir Group. So Mohammed, tell us a bit about yourself, first of all.
Hey, Joel, and thanks for having me on today. I appreciate it. It's definitely an honor. So what can I tell you about myself? I've been with Weir right now for a little over 10 years. I've been in HR for about a little over 15 years and currently look after our Workday product at the Weir Group. So we've got a pretty large global footprint in about 60 plus countries. So it's quite challenging, but also very exciting.
Okay, good stuff. So question number one, something that I ask all our guests, why did you choose Workday?
The $1 million question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, well, a simple answer is we chose Workday because it met our needs as a global organization and gave us the digital technology we needed to really begin our HR transformation journey. You know, essentially, like any organization, we were looking to do things better, more efficiently, more meaningful, smarter, and all the while making HR processes easier and more engaging for our employees and managers. You know, and another strong driving force for us was empowering the organization with real-time and accurate data so managers and HR can make data-driven decisions. Okay. I guess to give you an idea of where we come from or where we came from before Workday, we had over 50 different systems in almost every country.
Wow.
Well, not in every country, but we had about 50 different systems, but we had a different process to do a basic HR thing in each of those different countries. Sure. And with a global footprint like ours, where we're in 60 plus countries, having so many different processes to do the same thing can mean many different experiences and outcomes. Yeah. You know, and ultimately we were looking for a SaaS partner that could help us with enhancing our employee experience to being consistently great no matter where you work. Sure. At Weir and what your role is. And just as important was enabling our managers to be able to easily initiate both simple and complex HR processes through their direct access.
Okay.
And probably even more so important was to ensure we kept it simple so that you didn't have to be a rocket scientist to understand a complete process or to initiate something. And really for us in HR, creating a single source of truth. Yeah. So that we can trust our data and adopting global processes so that we can build on for the future.
Sure. Okay. No, that's good. I mean, 50 systems. Wow. That's that's an interesting journey, which brings me on to question number two, which is around your implementation. So I can imagine, just as a sort of footnote to this, that that was not straightforward, going from so many systems down to a few. I'm going to say a few because I know it's never always that straightforward to go to just one. How was your implementation? Tell us about how it went and your journey and the lessons you've learned from that.
Yeah, so our total implementation probably took about 18 months from the minute we decided to go with a global system. And then all the work that goes into the planning piece of it, and then identifying who your implementation partner is going to be, and then really the project in itself and the actual work, you know, give or take, took about almost a year, considering we had the pandemic come halfway through as well. So we had to move from a you know, regular way of implementing a project with meetings and offices to going fully virtual. Okay. You know, but I think we had a great implementation experience, not only as HR, but as an entire organization. It was certainly one of the most successful programs we've had as an organization.
Great.
You know, I believe the most impactful area we got right actually was engaging the entire organization throughout the implementation.
Sure.
For example, our global design sessions included many stakeholders and a design authority from within the wider HR community. And then we followed that up with individual country localization sessions, because we had so many systems and we had so many different ways. It was important for the countries where we had big populations and our biggest populations to really get into the weeds and understand their local requirements. But perhaps even more so for us, I think at the time, was working with full transparency in the organization and having regular updates and Q&A sessions on what's coming and what to expect. It's almost as the program team was the entire organization, which was a great effort because everyone was vested in the program being successful.
Cool.
But, you know, as everyone knows, like with any program, there's always some lessons learned. And we sat down to review those, like every other program, to understand really the root causes. Okay. And so that we could learn and grow from them, you know, but ultimately, you know, my advice for anyone who's implementing Workday globally is to take time out to iron out your processes around your Workday business processes.
Yep.
And getting your end-to-end processes socialized early on in the organization and getting those approved. And that also goes for your integrations as well. I think all those would help with your future configuration plans, your test plans, as you get to those milestones within your project.
Yep.
And definitely get professional help for translations.
Is that a tricky area?
Well, you know, it's time consuming. It's time consuming, and you have it can get quite tricky, because as you go through a project, you have certain milestones that you've got to achieve. And you've got to get those translations. And we're talking about each language having maybe 28,000 business objectives.
Wow.
to be translated. So for us, you know, for us, we were doing, you know, 6 additional languages.
Okay.
And so I definitely wouldn't recommend doing those in-house, simply because, again, it's quite time consuming and something that can be quite easily outsourced.
Sure. That's a good tip, actually. Interesting. Translations. Yeah, good stuff. Okay, excellent. And anything specific, like I know you mentioned you kind of sat down and did lessons learned. If you had your time over again, Mohammed, what are the key things that you think you might tweak? I'm not going to say do differently. It sounds like mm-hmm. it went really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, you know, again, I think for us, if we were to tweak anything, it would definitely be we would probably collaborate even more, have even more conversations. You know, as you go through a program, you have different milestones and you have different events in the program. So for example, global design, localization, there's pre-design, there's all those things. And at the time when you're going through the program and you're doing the budgeting, you think about, okay, we're gonna spend a lot of money on this, we're gonna spend a lot of money on this. You know, definitely, I think what's important for any organization and what we would probably tweak is invite more stakeholders to our localization events. Okay. So in our localization events, we invited key HR people to come in and tell us about the countries. And what I would do different is I'd probably invite the payroll leads from those countries as well. I'd probably invite the IT leads from those countries as well, where we have integrations or they've got established systems already, and other specialists within that HR area, like timekeeping, for example, and absence, so that those localization sessions can be more wholesome.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic insight. Good stuff. Okay. And so when did you go live and how was that actual sort of cutover process?
We went live August 31st of this year. So we are 809 days live right now.
Cool.
For us, it was a quite smooth go live. We obviously put a lot of planning into it. We had a lot of great cutover almost rehearsals in there. We had a ignition on checklist that we were checking out as we went through. We had a team that was fully staffed as well. So for us, I guess the most nerve-wracking part of it was, as a global organization, how do you go live and what time zone do you go live? So it was really just making sure there was a plan around what countries go live and ensuring there's immediate support. And we really went with a big bang approach. Okay. So it was one day, go live, here's your new system. And you know, we had a great message come out from our CEO and a great message come out from our chief people officer as well to sort of kick everything off.
Oh, amazing. Sounds good. Excellent. So that sort of moves us nicely into question number three, which is around building and managing a global workday team. So tell us a bit about that. Start by sort of setting the scene, Mohammed. Tell us how many countries, how complex. Give us a bit of detail around just who sits where.
Yeah, absolutely. So for us, our approach has always been to have a team made from people who have organically grown from within our business, who have become Workday experts as we implemented Workday.
Sure.
And also to bring in Workday experts from outside who have had that post-Workday implementation experience and have already had that experience as being part of a support model. We wanted to make sure we had good diversity of thought and approach when it comes to supporting our businesses, having a team of individuals who can understand both where and how things are done outside was important to us.
Yep.
One of the things I just want to mention also is what was really good to hear from our external hires was that our implementation was the best that they've seen yet. So
that is great feedback. That's interesting. Because you sort of don't hear about, it's going to sound weird, but you don't hear about the success stories. You only hear about the other side. People talk a lot about the other side of it, you know, the ones that haven't gone so well or the ones that need unpicking and rebuilding. So that's amazing feedback.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was complete unsolicited feedback. You know, just for them to tell us that was very good to hear because, you know, you implement Workday and you go live once, hopefully. but in any case, given our global footprint, we've adopted a follow the sun approach, making it so part of the team is always online.
Sure.
For example, as we have Australia coming online, or we have the West Coast of the Americas working late.
Yep.
Right now, the team is split between Australia, Poland, the UK, US, Peru, and Argentina.
Okay.
And that gives us a very good cover for all our regions. So Asia Pacific, EMEA, North America, and the LATAM region.
Sure.
We've also put a system in place that allows all our Workday consultants to exchange shift notes almost, if you like. In case there's any cases or issues that need to be picked up by incoming team members. And that gives our businesses continuity through leveraging our global footprint.
Okay, good stuff. So let's talk about the challenges of having people dotted around the globe, Mohammed. From a personal perspective, how do you find that? Because that sounds like it's quite tricky.
You know, I think there's a key ingredient to managing remotely across time zones, and that's having a team that believes in that approach. And that's having a team also, for us, that is really passionate about Workday and really enjoys working with people and showing them all the cool things Workday can do. And once you have that, you can really build on that. So it's important to have a motivated team, essentially. You know, as a team, we meet regularly online through various meetings, at least once a week. And I also encourage my team to meet with each other to discuss ideas and share issues they're facing. I think giving a global virtual team flexibility to manage their stakeholders in their regions is really important.
Okay.
And again, encouraging them to collaborate with each other is also key. So any sort of, you know, chat service like Teams or Slack, those kinds of collaborative tools can be very helpful because the team can, you know, build their own channels, their own rooms, have conversations real time, almost to an extent where, you know, I think we're actually successful and we're actually doing a good job because we're remote and because we have so many diverse people on the team that have so many different perspectives, we've always got ideas to share.
Sure. That's interesting. I was going to ask you, because obviously, you know, it came up at the beginning of our conversation about the global pandemic. Do you feel like you're almost a step ahead because of the globality of your business, because of the fact that a lot of what you do is virtual anyway?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you know, we as this was a global implementation, we almost went virtual a little before the pandemic. And so when it did really start, my entire team was already virtual. So there was already that less impact of going remote and going virtual and ensuring you've got a place to work from outside of the office. I think given the amount of work that's gone into our implementation and the time we've spent virtually right now, it definitely puts us in a advantageous position to be able to continue to digitize and continue to work this way. You know, ultimately, it's probably better for the environment as well.
Yeah, less carbon footprint. I love that.
Yeah,
absolutely. So you touched upon kind of a motivated workforce. How do you keep people going? Obviously, I mean, it's been very difficult for us in the UK when we went remote. Certainly in our organization, it was difficult to keep people up, you know, especially doing quite a complex job that is recruitment that we do. So from your perspective, you know, how do you keep them going? And you know, obviously everybody's not going to be on top of the world every day. So kind of tell me a bit about how your temperature gauge and maybe some of the tools or some of the ideas or concepts that you've brought in.
Absolutely. I think, you know, I've always had a rule of 5 points when managing a team. And that's ensuring that everyone on the team identifies with their tasks. So believes in their tasks and believe, you know, they're doing the right job. The second thing is ensuring there's enough variety in their job so that they're not working on monotonous things. The third thing is ensuring they've got enough autonomy to be able to make critical decisions and give them room to take some risk and fail a little and learn a little. I also believe, you know, in providing a constructive channel for feedback. So, you know, really in our team, anyone can call anyone and say whatever. You know, we're all respectful, we all care about each other, and it's just being open and honest. And lastly, ensuring there's job satisfaction. So, you know, they're happy and they believe in why they're here with us, so.
Interesting. That's really good insight. So let's look forward. Not just in terms of the size and shape of your team, but in terms of the product as well. So give us a bit of insight into some of the cool tools you mentioned about Workday and some of maybe the innovation or the forward thinking that's going on inside your business around the product and the people.
Absolutely. So for us, you know, Workday is definitely our game changer. It's our HCM model. But what we've also done is while we're implementing Workday, we also implemented a service delivery tool called ServiceNow. So we implemented the HR ServiceNow model to ensure that we've got a mechanism for our HR customers and our employees to engage with us and open cases. You know, one of the tools that's been very helpful is our knowledge bases on those, because we've got one area where people can all go and pick up how-to guides and reference guides on how things work. And we've almost created a digital level zero of support where initially, if you have any questions, you've got this knowledge base that's got all this material information with screenshots on how you can go and do things.
Cool.
So that's certainly what we are leveraging. We're definitely leveraging Microsoft Teams for us. We collaborate heavily on Microsoft Teams. We document all optimizations, our change request process, and all our internal policies and operational framework so that it's easily accessible to everyone on the team. So those are some of the things that we're using right now.
Cool. Okay, good stuff. And then obviously this has been a bit of an sort of evolving process for you, and we're kind of in this continual learning environment by the sounds of it. What sort of stuff are you kind of doing differently now than before? Obviously the team is growing, you're following the sun, you've got this these good models in place. You know, what things are you doing to kind of improve and kind of optimize?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think as we look to enhance and embed Workday and what we're calling phase one of our journey, we're looking at items like Workday Assistant, which is almost like a chat service that'll help managers and employees with different processes. We're looking at Skills Cloud. And we're looking at machine learning. So different benchmarking and different sort of tools that we can leverage now that we are on a global system that's connected. So, it's really the beginning of a bigger journey as we mature with Workday.
Okay, amazing. I'd like to pick your brains on one of those points, actually, because it's an area that's been highlighted to me and that sounds very exciting, and that's Skills Cloud. So just sort of articulate to myself and our listeners in terms of the concept of that, because it's pretty funky.
Absolutely, yeah. I think Skills Cloud gives us an ability to, and there's two ways to really use Skills Cloud. It's for recruitment and for talent. Yep. And in either case, if I'll give you an example, someone in an organization where you've got Skills Cloud and you're using it in the talent platform, you're attributed to two or three skills that you do, whether it's being multilingual or whether it's, being an expert in a certain application. And what that does is it sort of puts you in a position where if, you're looking for opportunities for, growth, for promotion, for global mobility or any sort of opportunity, what the system will do for you is it'll highlight that particular skill on the person.
Okay.
That shows you, but also when you're using it in recruitment, what it'll do is it'll suggest and recommend different skills that other people with this type of job have had. And so it gives you a bit of insight from the larger network as well of all the different skills that are out there that are associated with similar types of jobs. So, for example, IT professional, for example, has, these three skills, and that's what you see most of the time. So maybe I should be looking for this as well.
Okay. Interesting. Good. Thank you for that. Really appreciate it. And the kind of last point from me, in case there's anything else you want to share, Mohammed, and that's really around 2021. So it's been a interesting year, obviously a great year for your business by the sounds of it with the adoption of the Workday platform. What is the, from a high level, of course, don't share with us anything that you can't, but what is the 2021 roadmap looking like, and what are the sort of goals and things that you'd like to get done around yourself and the team? What are your aspirations?
Yeah. I think, our 2021, everyone's very excited about 2021 can't really wait to get into 2021. I've been talking to some people and we're thinking if we can get a refund on 2020, but I don't think that's going to be possible. For us, it's continue to digitize. It's continue to leverage now what we have in phase one or what we've implemented with phase one as we complete phase two, which is another piece of continuous work to implementation. So, phase two will bring in a lot more to our existing model.
Okay.
And that's when we'll really start getting a lot of the return on investment on Workday and what we've implemented so far. So we're looking to have that done in 2021. And for us, really, it's ensuring that we continue to embed and optimize what we already have as well. So while we're doing phase two, it's continuing to improve phase one at the same time.
Yep.
You know, and those are some of the real big ticket items we have from a Workday perspective.
Okay, good stuff. Excellent. Good. Last, I said that was the last bit, but it's not really. Let's just one more thing around. So obviously you've been on quite a good Workday journey. Are there any items around Workday that you would like to see coming up? So any new functionality that either Workday's building that you know about, or anything that's not kind of out there yet that you think would be an amazing add-on? I promise you it's the last question I'll ask you.
You know, I think there's quite a bit of talk about the Vibe Index, and that's basically this diversity inclusion dashboard that Workday has, and they've got you know, there's workshops going on those right now, and we've had a few people from the company already join those, and they look really promising. And it, you know, I think as we grow more and we digitize more and we do more virtual and remote work, inclusion and diversity is going to be even more important in being able to harness the different ideas and the different skills and expertise that's out there. So for us, you know, getting that Vibe dashboard and getting insight from the larger Workday network of what that looks like, you know, giving us benchmarks so that we can, you know, measure ourselves is going to be quite interesting, I think. So that's something that I think we're really excited about.
Wow, that feels like a good place to finish. So before I do, I want to say a massive thank you from myself and our network, and also wish you a very happy Christmas, and let's hope it's a prosperous 21. We won't get a refund, unfortunately, but let's hope we make up for it in 2021. So thank you very much, Mohammed, for your time and expertise.
Yeah, no, thank you. You know, wishing all of you a wonderful Christmas and a wonderfully vaccinated 2021 as well.
Absolutely, fingers crossed.
Yeah.